Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Lamed Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on Daf Lamed Dalet Omed Aleph, 21 lines from the top, a little less than halfway down the Omed. You'll notice a framed section with a diamond around Rabbi Akiva. This is a continuation of the marking scheme that we started in our last shiur, which highlights the names of the Tanoim that were quoted in the long Tanaic source that we saw on Daf Lamed Gimel. These are different Tanoim who are presenting their opinions or versions of what is the source that Shavuos HaEdus exists only when you're dealing with Tevias Mamon, where witnesses deny knowing testimony that had being testified would have resulted in the party's ability to collect money. Rabbi Akiva Omer, V'hoyo kiyesham lachas me'ila. This pasuk is from the context of Shavuos HaEdus, and the drasha is as follows: Yesh me'ela shehu chayav. There are cases of Shavuos HaEdus which would result in their culpability. V'yesh mehem shehu poter. And there are those in which they would be exempt from bringing a sacrifice. When we spoke about culpability, what we mean to say is that if they deny knowing their testimony, and they really do know, they'll have to bring a sacrifice. That's chayav. Poter means though they're lying in their denial of the testimony, nevertheless they do not bring a sacrifice. Halketzad, how do you distinguish, how do you explain this limitation? Answer, tovoi momon chayav, tovoi dovaracher poter. If the claimer is trying to claim a money payment that's due to him, or a value payment that's due to him, and they deny knowing testimony, so they will be guilty and have to bring a sacrifice if they are lying. And if he, the claimer, is claiming something else other than a value claim, poter, then even if they're lying, they're exempt from bringing the sacrifice. The Gemara asks, Epo Hana, why not switch around? Namely, that if it's a money claim, they're exempt. If it's a non-money claim, they would be guilty. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Akiva, a'oyin de Rabbi Elezer somech. The word oyin that you see here is the plural form of the word oy. And Rabbi Elezer, who was the previous Tanaic opinion in the source on Daf Lamed Gimel Omid Beis, Rabbi Eliezer derived through the word oy that Shavuos HaEdus is only when there is a Tevias Mamon. Now, you'll ask, if Rabbi Akiva is relying on Rabbi Eliezer, so what's the difference between these two opinions? My binai ubein Rabbi Eliezer ubein Rabbi Akiva. In which case of Tevias Mamon would Rabbi Akiva exempt and Rabbi Eliezer obligate, if of course the witnesses are lying? Rabbi Eliezer would obligate them in bringing a sacrifice, and Rabbi Akiva not so. So what is the point of difference? Iko binayu mashpia eide karka. A point of difference between them would be when you're seeking testimony from witnesses concerning land matters. The Rabbi Eliezer chayov, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, if they deny knowing testimony and they really do know it, they'll be obligated to bring the sacrifice. The Rabbi Akiva pturin, but according to Rabbi Akiva, since it's a land-related oath, it's an oath concerning a land matter, land, according to Rabbi Akiva, would not be something that generates a a violation, or in fact generates an oath. There's a concept that you see elsewhere, ein nishboin ala karkois. The basis of that is based on scriptural analysis, but for the time being, this will be sufficient as a point of difference between them. However, Rabbi Yochanan diomar hasam. According to Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, that says over there, mashbia eide karka afilu Rabbi Lezer pturin, the oath imposed on witnesses concerning land matters, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, would result in exemption from bringing the sacrifice. Ha ha, my iko bein Rabbi Eliezer l'Rabbi Kiva. So then in our drosha concerning Shua Sa'edus being only regarding Tfiyas Mamon, what's the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva when you tell me that Rabbi Akiva is basing himself on Rabbi Eliezer's drosha of oh? Answer, Iko binayu eide knas. A point of difference between them would be witnesses that know information and yet deny it regarding a knas-type payment. We spoke about knas-type payments extensively in our previous year, so we won't dwell on that other than to say that it's a type of payment that doesn't correspond to the actual damage or actual debt that's incurred, but rather it's something that is Torah imposed, if you will, not corresponding necessarily to the value in question. So in a case like that, witnesses that deny knowing knas related information and they're lying, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, they would nevertheless be guilty, even though it's not a straightforward mamon case. And Rabbi Akiva would say there is exemption. Now we go to the next Tana. And before we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the side, the Nosei, the topic heading reads, Shitas Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Ein Chiyuv Kfira Be'edus, Elo Be'edus Mamon, Velo Be'edus Nefoshos, Kagon Ritzicha. Rabbi Yosef Aglili tells us that only in the case of Mamon, there is a penalty on the witnesses resulting in the bringing of a sacrifice if they're lying, but not in denial of testimony concerning capital cases like murder. Derak b'mamon efshur edus, that only in monetary related cases would you be able to construct the following, and it's based on a pasuk that we'll see in the Gemara. Number one, Biriya Bali Yadia, a testimony that would have significance based on their mere seeing something without actual knowledge, or Biyadia Bali Riya, or knowledge without actually seeing something. Ukfi Shinilmad Mea Pasuk, based on the pasuk that says Oy Ra'a O Yoda, regarding testimony that is a pasuk you find in the Torah, which says either they saw or they knew. Masha'en came beretzach, as opposed to a case of, let's say, murder, the afalpi diyesh efsharus lodun biyadia baliriya, even though you will have a situation where there will be, come to conclusions with knowledge without actually seeing the incident, kegon b'maisa d'shimin ben shetach, as we'll see in the story that the Gemara features with Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, Aval ein efsharus l'kayim bo edios al pi re'iya b'li yadiya, k'nei meforsh b'Gemara. However, when it comes to testimony where you would have seeing, sight, without knowledge, that cannot be accepted. It would have no value when you're dealing with a capital case. I know that this all sounds a bit abstract because we haven't seen concrete examples, but nevertheless, it's important to see beforehand the distinction that Rabbi Yosef Aglili is going to make. We continue now in the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer, as a proof that Shvua Se'edus refers only to money claims, he says, V'hu Eid O Ra'o Yoda. This is the pasuk in the Torah that deals with testimony. It says he's a witness, and he either sees or knows. Be'edus hamiskayemes b'ri'a b'li yodia u'b'di'a b'li ri'ia. We have to talk about some kind of testimony that would have value through seeing even without knowing, or knowing without seeing. That's akosuv medaber. The pasuk is talking about that kind of testimony when the pasuk, when the Torah is describing the parsha of Shvuas HaEdus and everything we've been discussing till now. There's a brief commentary you could see in the Rach across from here. Rabbi Yossi Haglili, working in Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Omer v'hu eid o ro yoda, b'eidus miskayemes b'riya b'li yodia kagon. Example, mono monisi l'cha b'fnei ploni uploni. Person says that I counted out money to you in front of so-and-so and so-and-so, in front of these two witnesses. So we have two witnesses that would have seen Mr. A counting out bills of money and handing them to Mr. B. So we have a case of them seeing, even though they don't know what the nature of the payment was. Nevertheless, if they are summoned to come forth and testify, and let us say the receiver of the money would say, listen, if you can produce witnesses that saw you count out money to me, then I'll pay you back. So what level of knowledge do the witnesses have? They saw, but they don't know what the nature of the payment was. What you have here is a case where the receiver of the money would be saying, I'll agree to pay you back that money which I received as, I admit, as a loan. But you got to bring these witnesses that saw you count it out to me. So there's value to their testimony when you have, again, a situation of their having seen the counting out of the money, but they themselves were not aware, they had no yediyah, they didn't have knowledge of what the nature of that money transfer was. And the Rach continues, ubiyediyah b'li ria, below ria, knowledge without actually seeing, kagon, mono hodeso li b'fnei ploni uploni, where someone says, while in the presence of so and so and so and so, two witnesses, you confessed or you admitted to owing me money, or to you admitted to agree to give me money. So now in that case, the witnesses, if they come forward, they'll be able to testify that they heard so-and-so admit that he is going to pay money without them actually having seen any money transfer. So there you have a case of yediyah without re'iyah. So those examples illustrate that in matters of, let's say, money matters, that would have the testimony that in this case they're denying would have had actual benefit in resulting in a payment had they testify. And now we have a question. This is a long question. Omer le Rav Popola Baye. Lema Rabbi Yossi Haglili les le de Rabbi Acha. Shall we say that Rabbi Yossi Haglili does not accept the type of, let's say, legal reasoning of Rabbi Acha? Rabbi Yossi Haglili said that edus, that testimony, cannot be accepted unless you have outside, let me emphasize here, outside the realm of mominus, outside the realm of money matters, you cannot have testimony that would exist unless you have both elements, seeing the incident and knowing the details behind it. So our question is going to suggest now that being that that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's standard, it must be that he doesn't accept Rabbi Acha's standards in reaching conclusions. We'll be clearer about this as we go on in the Gemara. Desanya, Rabbi Acha Oimer, Gomel Ha'oicher Bein Hagmalim. If you see a camel that's behaving in a stressful, dangerous type fashion. Namely, the ocher literally means that he's kicking with his hind legs. And Rashi actually has two pshatim on that. One is what we just said. And the second explanation she has, it's a camel in heat. A camel that's in the time of year that camels procreate, so their method of procreation is described in the Rashi based on the Gemara Bechoros as a posterior male-female connection, two posteriors to one another, and that's called ocher, from the word acher or acharon means the last, the behind type idea. So Rabbi Acha says, if you see a camel behaving in this fashion, v'nimsa gomel horug b'tzido, and you find a dead camel next to it, and you didn't see how that dead camel actually died, but you see right next to it a wild behaving camel. B'yodua shezeh horugoy. So you can conclude by, we'll call this circumstantial evidence, that the wild behaving camel is the one that killed this camel, the dead, the victim. Now, we said that Rabbi Yossi Aglili doesn't accept Rav Acha's method of coming to conclusions. De'i islei de Rav Acha, if Rabbi Yossi Aglili would accept Rav Acha's method of coming to conclusions, Bedine nefashos nami mishkachas law. Even in capital cases, specifically in a case of murder, you could have yedia b'liria. You could have a case of knowledge without actually seeing the event. Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach desanyo, like the story involving Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach. Era b'nechoma. The expression era b'nechoma is an expression of vowing. We'll say it's an expression of exclamation. People will say sometimes, "I swear that I never this and this and this." So that's era benechama. Im lo ra'isi echad she'rotz achar chavero l'churba. If I didn't see the following. In other words, he's saying that I saw someone run after his friend into a ruin. Now, the ruin is a place that no one else was in there before this particular incident. It's a ruin. Who stays, who dwells, who tarries, who loiters in a ruin? So I saw someone run into a ruin, and he was pursued by someone else. Veratzti Achrov, and then right after these two guys ran into the ruin, I ran in afterwards. Umatzosi Sayef Biado, and I saw a sword in the hand of the pursuer. Vidam Metaftef, and blood dripping from the sword. The Horug Mefarper, and a murder victim, and the other guy lying there. Mefarper is the jerking motions of a person right in the throes of death. Amarti lo, Reb Shimon Neshechta says, I said to the guy with the sword, Rosha, mi horago lazeh, you wicked man, who killed this guy? Oani oata. It's either me or you. There's no one else around here. And I didn't kill him, obviously. Avol ma'aseh, what can I do? Shein dom chomosur biyodi. Your life is not given into my hands. Meaning, legally, I can't do anything about this situation. I can't prosecute you. Shariyam ro Torah, the Torah says, apishnayim edim o shlosh edim yumas ames. In order for a person to be executed by a court, you need to have two or three witnesses. Ela hamokom yifra mimcha. So Rav Shimon Shetav says, rather, let the Almighty, hamokom, a reference to the Almighty, let him collect retribution from your behavior. Amru, and it was said, lo zozu misham ad shenoshchoi nochosh umeis. They didn't even move out of that place until a venomous snake, came and bit this murderer. Now, according to Rav Acha, if you come to conclusions based on what we call circumstantial evidence, so the murderer here would have been able to be prosecuted. Rav Yossi Aglili, on the other hand, says, if you have Riyah without Yediyah, or Yediyah without Riyah, here you have Yediyah without Riyah. Rav Acha prosecutes. Rav Acha comes to legal conclusions when you have Yediyah without Riyah. And if you take Rav Acha's reasoning and super it impose on the story involving Rav Shimon ben Shetach, even in a case of murder, you could have had Yediyah without Riyah. So shall we say that Rav Yossi Haglili, who insists on both Riyah and Yediyah, for a capital case, you would have to have Yediyah and Riyah, so he doesn't accept Rav Acha's method of reaching conclusions. The Gemara responds, Afilu Teimo Islei de Rabbi Acha. Rav Yossi Aglili might very well accept Rabbi Acha in money matters, in coming to conclusions regarding non-capital cases. Rabbi Yossi Aglili could very well agree with him. The only problem is that in a murder case, you don't have both possibilities of Yediyah without Riyah and Riyah without Yediyah. Bishlamo Yediyah below Riyah Mishkachas Law. You can have in a nefoshos case, in a murder case, you can have the knowledge without the actual seeing, like we saw in the Rav Shimon Shetach case. Elo Riyah below Yediyah Hechi Mishkachas Law. But a case of seeing an event without knowledge, how can you have that as having any value in a case of murder? Milo boy meida, don't you need to know in order to testify about a murder case? Don't you need to know im oyved kovim horag o Yisrael horag? Who the victim was? Was it an idol worshiper or was it a Jew? If you're going to execute the murderer, you have to know the nature of the victim. Was the victim an idol worshiper? Was the victim a Jew? Im adam treifa horag o shalem horag? Was the victim a person who was a treifa? A person is a person who has a physical deficiency that would result in his dying anyway. Now, what we just said is a rather general description of treifa. The Gemara Maseches Chulin delineates what constitutes a treifa. It's a halachic concept and a halachic status, but for our purposes, let us just say that if the person kills someone that was going to die anyway, so by virtue of his being a treifa, the murderer, although he did something wrong, he's nevertheless not subject to capital punishment. So, don't you need to know something about the victim? Was he a treifa, or was he an Adam Shalem, a healthy, completely healthy person? Therefore, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that we do judge cases based on Yediyah without Riyah or Riyah without Yediyah, But you'll find that that has value, that type of testimony would have value only in momentous cases and not in cases of murder. And as far as Reb Yossi Aglili and Rav Acha's specific case, Rav Acha's specific case, in fact, appeared in the context of a monetary claim of someone's dead camel. And as we said before, in Dine Momenis, you could have Yediyah without Re'iyah or Re'iyah without Yediyah. And as such, Reb Yossi Aglili could accept Rav Acha's method of concluding cases, but not so. He wouldn't superimpose that method on a murder case. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, let us mention that Rashi says that what we're about to say now is a separate point. It's not a continuation of the discussion we just had. Shma Mina, we shall conclude, Kosov Reb Yossi Aglili, Mashpia Eide Knas Potter. If you recall, we cited earlier today as a point of difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, testimony concerning knas type payments. Now, knas type payments represent a rather broad category of issues. Let us be a little specific in this piece of Gemara and say we're talking about the knas that accompanies a rape or a seduction. The Torah speaks about a man raping a young girl, having to pay, raping, let's say, a virgin, in addition to any medical expenses and payment for embarrassment, he has to pay a Torah-imposed fee or fine of 50 shekel. So in the case of the knas payment, that 50 shekel that we just mentioned, is a knas-type payment that's paid in the case of either a rape or seduction. Reb Yossi Aglili will tell us that witnesses that deny knowledge of this these situations of oines or mefate would be exempt. Why? Because, as we said, Reb Yossi Aglili holds that denial, false denial of testimony in what we call Shvuos Eidus, is of relevance or can lead to their guilt and obligation to bring a sacrifice only if you can have Yediyah without Re'iyah or Re'iyah without Yediyah. And now we explain. The Gemara is telling us that Reb Yossi Aglili will tell you that Mashbia Eidei Knas is Potter. If you were to think that their denial of testimony concerning knas would result in their obligation to bring the sacrifice, granted you can have a case of knowledge without actual seeing, as we explained before in the murder case, or circumstantial evidence, but not actually having seen the incident. Re'iyah below yediyah, but to have seen an act of rape or seduction without knowing further information, of what value would that be? Milo boy meida, do they not have to know Nochris Boal, Bas Yisrael Boal, who was the girl? They might have seen an actual act, but they don't know, was she a Jewish girl, or was she daughter of idol worshippers? Besula Boal, Beula Boal, do they not have to know whether she was a virgin or whether she was a girl that already had relations? Because in the case of a Beula, a girl that already had relations, there is no 50 shekel Torah knas payment, even though she was either raped or seduced. So without that knowledge, their actual having seen the event would have no legal value to us. So, as we just said, the opinion of Reb Yossi Aglili would be such that Eidei Knas, who deny their knowledge, would be exempt. Yosef Rav Hamnuna Kamei D'Rav Yehuda V'Yosef Rav Yehuda V'Kamei Bayalei. Rav Hamnuna was seated in the presence of Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda raised the following. Mono Monisicho B'Fnei Ploni Uploni. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. The Eidim Royin Oisoi Mibachutz, and witnesses see from the other side, from outside. The Rashi adds, the Nitva, the one from whom the money is being claimed, was unaware of their presence. So once again, we see someone claiming, a Tovea, claiming, I counted out a certain amount of money in front of so-and-so witnesses, and the witnesses saw from outside, and the Nitba, the debtor, was unaware of their presence. Omar le Rav Hamnuna, v'halo ma toein, and the debtor, what does he claim in response? E Omar lo hoyu dvora me olam, if he says that never happened, you never counted out any money to me. Well, huchzuk kafron, he's then a declared liar, because you have the witnesses that saw money counted out to him, even though they don't know whether it was a loan or it was a gift. But by the debtor's response, it never happened, he's making a claim that's smack up against a contradiction to what the witnesses are saying. And he would now no longer be believed regarding an oath on this matter. E Omar in Shakli, if the one from whom the money is claimed says, yes, I received money, but it wasn't a loan. Vididi Shakli, I took money, which was my money. Ki osu edim my have, then with the appearance of the witnesses, what difference is that going to make? All the witnesses are going to be saying is that we saw A count out money to you, Mr. B. Omar le Rav Yehuda, upon hearing Rav Hamnuna's analysis, says, Hamnuna at Earl Ta, meaning you are a wise man, come in to the Beis Medrash, you are someone who imparts wisdom to your teachers. So, very simply put, Rav Yehuda was impressed with Rav Hamnuna's analysis of this case. What did we see in this case? We saw an illustration of witnesses who there was re'iyah without yediyah. They saw money being counted out, but they didn't know whether it was a loan money or a gift. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a new marking. A diamond appears on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivne heading. We explain that the diamond represents a Shnei Lishonos Shel Oisa Maisa, two versions of the same incident. Maisa Zeh Mitayer Kfira She'eno Nikra Kfira LaHalacha. The story will feature a denial, but it doesn't constitute we'll call it a halachic denial. The Gemara. Hahu diomale lechavrei. One says to the other, Mona moni sicha lecha bitzad omudze. I counted out $100 to you while we were standing by this pillar. Omale, the nitba, the one from whom the money was being claimed, says, Lo avarti bitzad omudze. I did not pass by this omud. Again, he says, Lo avarti, I did not pass by, but sad omudzeh, by this pillar. Also, tre sadi asidu bay, two witnesses come and testify, dehishtin mayim, but sad omudzeh, that on one occasion, this guy actually did pass water, he relieved himself, he urinated by this very pillar. Omar le Reish Lakish, huchzuk kafron. Well, this man has now just demonstrated that he's a liar, and he will not be believed anymore to swear on this matter. The witnesses say he did pass by the pillar, when in fact he said he never he did not pass by it. Maskif lo Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman attacked Reish Lakish's ruling. He said, "Hai dino parsohu." Literally, this is Persian justice. In other words, this is not accurate justice. Nika Omar me olam. Did the debtor say, I never passed by? All the debtor said is, Be'esik zeh komale, regarding this particular incident, I was not by the pillar. So, therefore, to declare him a liar would be unjust. The fact that witnesses say that, well, once he relieved himself by that pillar, doesn't make this guy who said, I didn't walk by this pillar, into a liar. All he meant is, I didn't walk by this pillar in the context of receiving money from you. Iko di Amri, another version. Hahu di Omar le lechavrei. Mona monisi lecho betzad omudze. I counted out money to you while standing by this pillar. Omar le lo avarti betzad omudze me olam. And the one from whom the money was being claimed is says, I never, and if we dashed underline me olam, I never walked by this pillar. Nafku be sahadi di hishtin mai betzad omudze. Two witnesses came forth that testified that he urinated by this very pillar. Omar Rav Nachman Huchsa Kafran. Rav Nachman, notice Rav Nachman here is the one that's initiating the psak. In the first version, it was Reish Lakish with Rav Nachman responding. Here, Rav Nachman, according to this version, says this guy is a declared liar. Omar Le Rava Le Rav Nachman. Rava explains to Rav Nachman that you can't say he's a declared liar. Kol milsa de lo ramya ole de inish, all kinds of matters that don't demand a person actually focusing his attention on that matter. Ovid lo valava daite, people do things without paying attention. When the specific location of a person relieving himself is not of interest to the person himself. So that when he says, I never walk by this pillar, even though he may have been mashed in my, may have passed water by the pillar, at that point it's not something he was paying attention to. And therefore, his claim of never having walked by this pillar is not, in fact, an illicit demonstration of his being a liar, even though witnesses said that he once relieved himself by the pillar. A very important concept that you see Rava introducing, called milsa de lo ramya oleg de inish, matters that aren't pressing upon a person, important for a person to pay attention to, ovid lava lava daite, people do things without that level of awareness. We are now quoting back from the source that we saw on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Chayev Kan V'Chayev Pikadon. What Rabbi Shimon was addressing was the issue of a proof that Shvuas Ha'edus takes place only in matters where there is money at stake. Money is being claimed. So Reb Shimon had his the basis of his argument, or the basis of his proof that Shvuas Ha'edus is relevant to money matters, was a binyan av. He compared Shvuas Ha'edus to Shvuas HaPikadon. And just like in Shvuas HaPikadon, an oath concerning an entrusted article where the bailey denied having received it to guard is a matter of mammon, a matter of value. Someone is claiming their article in return, and he is denying it. So too Shvuas Ha'edus, which is an oath that results in a korban if there is a lie, also must be, by the same token, an edus, testimony concerning a money claim. It's worth looking back, by the way, at that particular quote from Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, going over Rabbi Shimon's arguments. Because here we continue with the analysis of his shita, of his method of, logic or argument. Machaku alo b'marava. On the sign of our Gemara, we have topic heading. Machaku le b'marava ha-Gemara mechapeses. And our sugi, the Gemara, will be searching alma machaku b'limudo shel Reb Shimon. Machaku means they ridiculed, they laughed, they expressed skepticism regarding Rebbe Shimon's approach. So, what was that caused Ma'arava, Ma'arava's Eretz Yisrael, the scholars in Israel, in the land of Israel, to express their skepticism toward Rabbi Shimon's approach? The note continues the note continues, Belimuda, we said, Belimuda Shurib Shimon, Edus Mipikodon. Rabbi Shimon learned the rules concerning Shvuos Edus, when it is binding, when it is relevant, from that which we see by Shvuos HaPikodon. The Ein Chiyuv Elo B'Tvias Mamon. The liability on the part of witnesses who lie concerning knowledge of testimony exists only when there is a money claim and not regarding other matters of testimony. That, Rabbi Shimon derives from Shvuos HaPikodon. We will see in our Gemara the extensive use of a house shape appearing in an alternating position. Under the Mivneh heading, you can see a house is featured, and we have a Ma'akav. Ma'akav, the attempt to keep track, and we have, with the house shape point facing up, Hatzos L'mala Chukos, suggestions as to what they were ridiculing, and the inverted house, Dechios, and the that's a rejection of what the suggestion had been. And you'll see a double underlining under the expression Umay Chuka, what's there to laugh at? And Dilma will also be a dashed underline, Klomar Ein Chuka. The Gemara, at each point that you see the inverted house with the double underlining marking as you go on in the Gemara, saying what's there to ridicule about, Rabbi Shimon? Now the Gemara. Mochaku alo b'marova. My chuka, what's there to ridicule about Rabbi Shimon? So, dikotoni, it says, this is the suggestion for what is problematic. Dikotoni, ma lepikodon, in Rabbi Shimon's presentation, there had been a statement. In other words, a response to his method, where he says, "Well, how can you learn from Pikadon Shekein Lo Osa Boy Mushba Kenishba Mezid Kishogeg?" We found that Pikadon, in fact, was limited; that we don't treat someone who initiates, someone who is adjured by others, others imposed an oath on him, like one who initiates the oath himself. And we find also, says Rabbi Shimon, in Pikadon, lo osub omezid kishogig, someone who is a willful liar in his oath is not the same as someone who lies bishogeg, meaning that only in the case of someone who is unwitting would bring the sacrifice. Someone who is willing, a willingful liar, will not bring a sacrifice. So we're in that section of argument, which we saw under Rabbi Shimon's presentation, the attempt to compare Edus to Pikadon was rejected. Why? Because Pikadon is more limited. Edus is more expansive. And since Edus is more expansive, it might very well be that a shvua concerning a denial of testimony would include even non-money matters. So that's what was said, and now we analyze it. This is a problematic thing. Michdi, mushpo mipi atzmo b'edus l'Rebbe Shimon minole. Where did Rebbe Shimon learn that in Shvuas HaEdus there is such a thing as a self-initiated shvua? When you look at in the Torah, in Vayikra, at the where the Torah discusses Shvuas HaEdus, you see scriptures that indicate others imposed the Shvuah on the witnesses. Where do you see his self-initiated, the concept of a self-initiated Shvuah? Well, the answer to that is Degomar mi Pikadon. Edus is derived from Pikadon, from the rules of Pikadon, where self-initiated oaths are mentioned in the Torah. Well, pikado nami mushpa mipi acherim nigmar meedus. So, let's say a tit for a tat. If you're going to learn edus from Pikadon regarding Shvua Mipi Atzmo, why not learn Pikadon from Edus regarding Mushba Mipi Achirim? Just like in Shvua Se'edus, you have this concept of others impose the Shvua on the witnesses, so too by Pikadon, where others, where the court imposes a Shvua on the guard, on the bailey, regarding the entrusted article. So in the under Reb Shimon's under the section of the source where Reb Shimon's Shita was presented, it was claimed that lo asa mushba kinish, lo asa mushba. Mushba means mipi achirim, like nishma piasma. Well, why not? Why don't you say that mushba mipi achirim exists by pikadon, as we find mushba mipi achirim by shvuas ha'edus? The Gemara says, "Umay chukah, what is lacking in Rabbi Shimon's claim? What is lacking in Rabbi Shimon's claim that Shvuas Apikadon does not have Mushpa Mipiach, does not have that? Dilma Rabbi Shimon Bekal v'chomer Maisi Lo." We had said that Shvuas Ha'edus and its Mushpa Mipi Atzmo is derived from Pikadon, which led you to the question of, well, then by Pikadon, why don't you derive Mushpa Mipi Achirim from Edus? That is not what happened in the first place. But rather, maybe Rabbi Shimon derived the concept of Shvua Mipi Atzmo by Edus through Kal v'chomer logic. As follows, Mipi Achirim Chayav, we find Edim upon whom an oath is imposed will end up being guilty if they're lying. Mipi Atzmo, when he initiates the oath, when the witnesses initiate the oath, lo kol shekein, all the more so. So the point of Shvuas Ha'edus regarding Shvua Mipi Atzmo being derived from Shvuas HaPikadon is not accurate. Therefore, the point made in the Tanaic source that Shvuas HaPikadon does not have the phenomenon of Mushba Mipi Achir might very well be true, because Shvuas HaPikadon is not something that's derived from Shvuas HaEdus. That is, that the Shvuas HaEdus itself is not derived from Shvuas HaPikadon that led us to the original suggestion of what the chukah was. So then, what was Marava ridiculing? Ela chukah amazed kishogeg dekotoni. The ridicule of what was said in the source on Daf Lamed Gimel is regarding the second point that we saw quoted just a few lines up in the Tanaic source. What did it say in the source? Ma le pikadon, how can you expect to derive edus from pikadon? Shekein lo osa boi mushba kinishba mezid kishogei. Where by pikadon we say that someone who willfully lies is not treated the same way someone who unwittingly lied. In shogeg, so he brings a sacrifice. By mezid, he does not bring a sacrifice. And by edus, we find that mezid and shogeg both would bring a sacrifice. Michti, mezid gabi edus minole. The fact that someone brings a sacrifice in shvuas edus, even though he's a willing willing liar, which is very unusual when it comes to bringing sacrifices, that someone who's willful brings a sacrifice. Nevertheless, in shvuas edus, we say even a willful liar brings a sacrifice. Where was that learned from? Delo ksiv bei v'ne'elam. The word v'ne'elam means hidden from someone. When someone commits an offense without awareness, so he's described by the word v'ne'elam. Well, in Shvuas Edus, you don't have that word. Therefore, we know that even if you are aware, you will still have to bring the sacrifice. Hochinami lo ksiv bei v'ne'elam. Well, by pikadon also you don't have that word, and therefore you should be chayev according korban, even if you're a willful liar regarding the entrusted article, even regarding the pikadon. So how can the source say that in the case of shuas hapikadon, the mazid is not treated like shogeg? Shogeg is obvious that you bring a sacrifice, that's standard procedure, where you're shogeg, where you're an unwitting offender. But to say that mazid should not bring because, or to say like the source says that mazid does not bring the korban, that shouldn't be the case. Just like by Shuas Eidus, they bring a korban even by mazid because it doesn't have the word v'ne'elam in the Torah, so too by Shuas HaBikaron, you don't have that. So that's the inaccuracy in the source. And that's why Machaku b'marava. Then we ask, what's the problem? Omar luhu ravuna umay chuka, what's there to ridicule? Dilma mezid delav kishogeg bepikadon. Maybe this idea that was suggested in the source, that mezid in the case of pikadon is not like shogeg, namely, mezid does not bring a korban, that is derived not... That is derived mimeila. Rabbi Shimon Gomalo. Rabbi Shimon learned that point from the way the Torah deals with the topic of mi'ila. Mi'ila is the unlawful personal benefit that one receives from sanctified articles, sanctified items, sacrifices, the Beis HaMikdash, etc., where the Torah tells us that if he is mo'el, he brings a sacrifice, but only b'shogeg, not b'mezid. If he's mezid, if he's a willful beneficiary of that which is sanctified, he does not bring the mi'ilah sacrifice. So, if that's the case, then Rabbi Shimon has a basis for saying that mezid eino k'shogeg by pikadon. Very simply, pikadon is derived from mi'ila. The Gemara responds, if you want to know what the point of ridicule was, v'hainu chuka, adegomar lo mi'ila, nigmar lo me'edus. Instead of learning the rules of pikadon from mi'ila to exempt the mezid from a korban, learn the rules of pikadon from shvosa edus to obligate him in a case of mezid to bring a sacrifice. The Gemara responds, no, he said, mistabro mi me'ilah havi le lemelaf. It's more likely for Reb Shimon to learn from me'ilah, learn pikadon from me'ilah, shekein me'ilah mi me'ilah, in terms of the psukim. The word mo'el or mi'ilah appears in both contexts. In the context of the unlawful benefit from hekdish, from that which is sanctified, and you find that word also in the context of the shvuas hapikado. Adarabba, once you get into word comparisons, me'edus have lei lemelav. He should have learned shvuas hapikadon from edus, and the result once again would be to mechayev by shvuas hapikadon mezid bekorban. Why should I learn from edus? Shekein techto mitechto. In shvuas hapikadon and shvuas edus, you find the word techto. No, mistabro mi me'ila have lei lemelav. It's more likely to learn pikadon from ila shekein. And now you see a series of 6 points that pikadon has in common with mi'ila, and they are mi'ila, bakul, nene, bekavua, chomesh, ve'osham. What each one of these are, you can look in the Rashi, and we look at Rashi together in the upper quarter of the page. Shekein, mi'ila, bakul, nene, bekavua, chomesh, ve'osham. B'shneim ne'mar mi'ila. In pikadon and mi'ila, you find the word mi'ila. Ushneem noagim bakol, and pikadon and mi'ilah are broad in their application. In other words, anyone who benefits, a man, a woman, someone who is a gambler, someone who is straightforward, anyone who benefits from Hekdesh is chayev for that is in violation if they benefit from Hekdesh, and who can serve as a guard over an item, a man, a woman, someone who is a gambler, someone who is straightforward, all kinds of people can serve as a shomer of a pikadon, which is not the case in testimony. Testimony is limited to only those who are eligible to serve as witnesses. Only someone who's eligible to serve as a witness when he lies, denying knowing testimony, is guilty. Someone who's not eligible to serve as a witness, who denies knowing testimony, his denial is irrelevant. The next point was Nene. Both the person who is Moel of in Hekdesh, he benefits. He's Nene. So too the Shomer who denies having article, he benefits by having to owe the money. In his oath of denial, he's benefiting. And that's not the case when someone denies knowing testimony. What benefit is there in him in his claim that he doesn't owe testimony? Another point that they have in common, the fourth point, is both Mi'ila and Pikadon, when they bring a sacrifice, their sacrifice is what the Gemara says, Kavua. It's a set-priced sacrifice. It's called, first of all, it's an Osham, a Korban Osham, a guilt offering, and it has a fixed price to it, and which is not the case in Shavuos Ha'edus when you're dealing with a Chatas Oy Leviyored. It's a fluctuating price sacrifice based on one's income level. The person's income or wealth level is a consideration with regard to the sacrifice of Shavuos Ha'edus, not so with regard to the sacrifice by Mi'ila or Pikadon. Another point in common Mi'ila and Pikadon have is what's called Chomesh and Osham. The Osham we already mentioned, that is the type of sacrifice is similar by Mi'ila and Pikadon, not so by Edus. And another point they have in common is the obligation to add a fifth to the value of whatever the Pikadon was or the amount of benefit they received from Hekdesh. That idea of adding a fifth is not present with regard to Edus. So you have 6 points that Mi'ila have in common with Pikadon. And that's why I derive the idea that by Shavuos HaPikadon, he is not going to be guilty of bringing a sacrifice if he willfully lied. Just like a willful Mi'ila person does not bring a sacrifice. Adarabba, to the contrary. There is a chukah over here. May Edus have ilay lemeilav. Rabbi Shimon should have learned the rules of Pikadon from Edus. And if one would have done that, he would have found that by Pikadon he should be guilty for Mezid as well. And yet Rabbi Shimon said he's not guilty for Mezid. Why should he have learned from Edus? Shekain, and here again you have a series of 5 points in common. Chet, Hedyot, B'shvua, Tavi V'kafre, V'oyin. In both Edus and Pikadon, you have the word Techeta. And both Edus and Pikadon involve commoners. Mi'ila is something that's related to Hekdesh. So that point number 2 that we just mentioned, Hedyot, is something that only Pikadon and Edus have in common, not Mi'ila. Both the cases of Pikadon and Edus are Shvua oriented. It involves the guard swearing that he doesn't have the Pikadon, was never given the Pikadon, or you have the case of the witnesses that swear they don't know the testimony. Also, both come about through Tvia and Kfira, meaning a claim is made and then there is a subsequent denial. That's characteristic of Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos HaPikadon. That has nothing to do with someone who benefits from Hekdesh. And likewise, the word Oy appears in the context of Edus and Pikadon, and not so in the case of Mi'ila. So you see that we should have, in fact, derived pikadon from Eidos, and as we said before, the result would be that pikadon is also chayev b'mezid, a korban. So that's the chukah. No response. Hanoch nefishin. The points of commonness between pikadon and me'ilah are greater in number. That we saw 6 points more than the points in common between pikadon and eidus. There were only 5 points in common. Ela my chukah. So then, what is the basis of the ridicule of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael on Rabbi Shimon's teaching? Ki also Rav Papa of Rav Huna Rav Yeshua mi be Rav Amri hainu chukah. When they came, they said the following is the point of ridicule. Rabbi Shimon Gezeira Shava Gomir. We saw at the end of Rabbi Shimon's presentation that Rabbi Shimon learned that Shvuas Ha'edus is only a monetary, only concerning monetary matters through a Gzeira Shava from Pikadon, where you saw the word Techta, Techta. So Rabbi Shimon has a Gzeira Shava. Lomo le de Porich, once you have a Gzeira Shava, which means we compare the topics, why then was there any attempt to let's say, destroy that comparison by having said, Ma le pikadon, shikain lo asa bo imushbo kinishba, mezid kishogeg. How can you learn from pikadon, which is only mamon, to the case of Eidus, which is with an attempt to limit it, when we find that pikadon is a realm that is limited. We don't have mushba mikipiachim like mushba bi atzmo, and we don't have mezid being chayav by pikadon like a shogeg. The Gemara asks, "Umay chuka, what's the problem in the logic here? It's true he has a gzera shava which compares the topics. Ah, you'll say that he was attempting to undo the comparison. That umay chuka dilmo ki porich. Maybe when Rabbi Shimon raised the pircha, the attempt to undo the comparison, mekami detekum le gzera shava. That was before he had established that there is a gzera shava." Boser de Koma le Gezera Shava, after he established that there is a Gezera Shava, lo porich, he wouldn't raise that objection, and he would learn that by pikadon, and the result would be once he establishes the Gezera Shava, he will learn by pikadon also that mushba kenishba and mezid kishogeg, just like you find by Shvuas Ha'edus. The Gemara says, is that really Rabbi Shimon's position? Velo? And here we reinstate the chukah. The Omer Luhu Rava Barisi L'Rabbonon. Rava says to the Rabbonon on another occasion, he said to them, Man Tano Shuas HaPikadon Lo Nitan Zdona L'Chapora. Who is the Tano that says that in Shuas HaPikadon, one who is mazed does not bring a sacrifice? Very simply, as we saw before, lo asu mezid kishogeg. Even though there's a gezeira shava, who is that? Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Shimon. So that is the problem. Here, on the one hand, you're saying there's a gezeira shava between pikadon and eidus, from which we were able to learn that eidus is limited to money matters. So too, by shuasa pikadon, we shouldn't be saying this. We shouldn't be saying that zona lo nitan lekapora. But once you have a gzera shava comparing the two topics, just like by Shuas Ha'edus, the zodon is nitan lekapora, so too by Shuas Ha'pikadon, zodon is nitan lekapora. The Gemara says that doesn't represent a problem. Dilma mezid kishogeg porich de gomar lo mi meila. The Hanoch Nefishin, Avo Mushba, Kinishba Lo Porich. Maybe in raising the objection was raised based on the idea of Mazid by pikadon is not treated like shogeg, because that he doesn't learn from the gezeirah shava, that he learns from me'ila. In other words, by pikadon, there's an established, we'll call it an established fact, that mazid does not bring a korban. That happens to be learned from me'ila. It's not learned from the gezeirah shava. The idea of mushba kenishba, that is not what he was using as his pircha. That was not the source of the pircha, because that particular point of mushba kenishba, in fact, is learned from the gezeirah shava of techto techto, but only regarding that din. But as far as regarding the issue of mezid kishoge, there pikadon is not like edus. And therefore, that's a reasonable basis of raising an objection. How can you learn edus from pikadon when pikadon is limited, the bringing of a korban only by shogeg, whereby edus brings a korban even in the case of mezid? And therefore, why should edus be limited to only money matters? So that was a reasonable type argument, nothing to ridicule. The Gemara responds, you want to know what there was to ridicule? The tehader edus v'tigmar lo mi pikadon. Once you've said all of this, namely, that pikadon was derived from Ela regarding a distinction between shogeg and mezid, and you also say that there's a gzera shava between pikadon and edus, why not just continue and say edus should be derived from pikadon to mezid lav de lav kishogeg ma pikadon shogeg in mezid lo? Just like by pikadon we say the korban is brought only for shogeg and not for mezid, af edus shogeg in mezid lo ki hechi diyolif pikadon mi me'ila. We're establishing a chain of learning, a chain of a step of how to establish facts. Just to repeat, just like pikadon was derived from me'ila, that there, mezid is not like shogeg, by mezid no korban, derive edus from pikadon likewise, that mezid by edus should not be chayav a korban, as opposed to shogeg, which is chayav a korban. And yet, we say that by edus, one is chayav even in the case, chayav a korban even in the case of mezid. That is what Marava felt problematic in Rabbi Shimon's presentation, because Rabbi Shimon in fact said that there is a distinction between pikadon and edus on the matter of mezid kishogeg, and logic would say there should be no distinction. The Gemara responds, and this is now you see at the top of Daf Lamed Hey, the final response in this give and take. We have to now drive home the point, or why is it in fact that by edus, we don't say what was just suggested, that Rabbi Shimon can in fact hold that mezid kishogeg is something only by edus and not by pikadon. So here at the top of Daf Lamed Hey, you notice the inverted house marking. Lahachi kasva rachmono liedus gabi shvuas bitui vegabi tumas mikdosh vekadoshav. It is for this reason that the Torah writes the parsha, the section dealing with shvuas haedus, together with shvuas bitui and the oath of utterance, and together with the topic of tumas mikdosh vekadoshav. the Bekulon, with regard to Bitui and Tumas Mikdash Vikadoshav, Ne'emar Bahem V'ne'elam. You find that word, the word indicating hidden from him, meaning only if the person is an unwitting violator will he bring a sacrifice in those topics, Bitui and Tumas Mikdash. V'kan, and in stark contrast, here by Eidus, which is written together with them, Lo Ne'emar Bahem V'ne'elam, you don't find that word. Oh, why not? L'chayev al hamezid kishogeg. In the case of Shvosa Eidus, there is a obligation to bring a sacrifice, even if they are willing liars in their denial of testimony. And regarding that point, Shvos HaEidus is not like Mi'ila. So that if you had suggested before that there is this point to ridicule regarding Rabbi Shimon, not so. Rabbi Shimon is standing on very strong ground when he says that by Shvuas HaEidus there is no distinction between Mezid and Shogeg, whereas by Shvuas HaPikadon, which Rabbi Shimon derived from Me'ila, there is a distinction. So it was on that basis that the Pircha, in fact, was raised, as we indicated before. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.